Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. Financial Results for the fourth quarter of 2023. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the button "Raise Hand" and wait for the operator. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO of Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. I would like to first say good morning to everybody that's attending here, and thank you all for joining our fourth quarter earnings call for Prumo Participações. In 2023, Ferroport handled 24.04 million tons of iron ore, and this represents an increase of 12.5% when compared to the 21.4 million tons of the same period of 2022. Looking to the fourth quarter only, the volume handled was of 6.74 million tons, which represents an increase of 8.3% over the fourth quarter of 2022. Revenues coming from the take-or-pay tariff of iron ore increased 1.1% in 2023 compared to 2022, amounting a total of 1.1 billion BRL. Revenues coming from T-oil access tariffs almost doubled on the year-over-year comparison, with a total amount of 90 million BRL for the full year of 2023. When we look to the full year EBITDA, the total figure amounted 812.2 million BRL, with a 2% decrease comparing to 2022 figures, which was 828.6 million BRL. The margin for the year was of 77.1% for the EBITDA. When focusing on the fourth quarter results only, EBITDA was 7.5% smaller than the same period in 2022. Looking to the total amount in BRL, this was caused by higher maintenance costs on the operations and when comparing to the same figures in the previous year. Ferroport in 2023 distributed to Prumopar and Anglo in the fourth quarter a total amount of 97.72 million BRL. And the aggregate amount in 2023 was a total of 492.14 million BRL, with 246.07 million being the Prumo Participações share on the dividends distribution. Talking a little bit about ESG matters, I would like to highlight two main topics here. The focus on the actions in terms of the operations of Ferroport stays mainly in two bigger pillars. First, develop actions to develop more diverse participation in the workforce. This is something that the company is working a lot to change the ratio and the split on its workforce, and to continue the implementation of the decarbonization plan for Ferroport processes. Passing now to some highlights on the financial statements. First, I would like to start with Ferroport figures, looking into the income statements. One topic I would like to highlight is that the total net revenues for the year of 2023 increased 4% when comparing to 2022, driven by the excess tariffs coming from 157 total operations at T-Oil, with a robust increase, as we said in the beginning, in 2023, and lower discounts on the tariffs for the excess of oil vessels as well for the same period. Looking to the cash flow statements, I would like to highlight two main topics here on this portion, on this part. The cash flow coming from operating activities, they increased on 10.8% on the year-over-year comparison, amounting 622.7 million BRL, and CapEx totalized 79.3 million BRL, which represents an increase of a little bit on north of 22%, mostly due to operational efficiency items, safety, and some maintenance CapEx. Going to Ferroport's balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents, they increased 29.1% over the 2022 figure due to the port tariff readjustments and the take-or-pay contract, higher number of operations at the T-Oil, as we said, and the reimbursement of costs on the pier repair that Ferroport received on the previous year. Moving now to Prumopar financial statements. First, a comment on the income statement, and I would like to highlight that the total number on the net profit increased 5.2% to an amount of 204.6 million BRL. On the cash flow statements, Prumopar paid 58.1 million BRL of principal and 103.7 million BRL as well of interests related to the notes. Those were the figures on payments on both ends for 2023. And it's important to highlight that we are in compliance with the legal schedule obligations for the next 12 months as we were covering the target payments since mid-year 2023. And those were the highlights that I would like to share. And I'll turn it back to the operator so we can start the Q&A session and check if we have some.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the button "Raise Hand" and wait for the operator. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press the button "Hide Hand." And our first question comes from Ruben Weslojal with JP Morgan Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Ruben. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for the call. Just four quick questions that I'd like to run through one at a time. The first is whether you can comment at all on the Prumo Logística entity looking to be divested by EIG. I was curious whether there was any update there or any potential impact to the business for you guys.
Okay, Ruben. So, that's a good point. We saw some news out there in the last couple of weeks. It was someone from EIG talking about the potential divestments. from their fund on Clima Logística. This is something that it's actually the day-to-day operations of a fund. They come in, they purchase assets, they leave the operations, and one day they will be out. But I guess on our discussion here on the direct impacts potentially on Pruma Participações and or Ferroporte, first, there's no specific movements being done as far as I know on the sense, and there's no direct impact for our day-to-day operations at Ferroporte and our day-to-day operations at Prumopar. So I guess it was more of a potential day-to-day operations on their side, saying that right. They could be divesting in the near future, but there's nothing concrete out there, again, as far as I know.
Okay, thanks for that. And my second question has to do with your outlook for maintenance in 2024 and 2025, just trying to get a sense for, you know, dredging costs in the next couple of years versus what they've been in the last few years, whether there's a spike in that or we're sort of past a local peak in maintenance.
Nothing changes actually related to the maintenance dredging. What we're seeing is some more maintenance on the equipment, the onshore equipment actually, because we're reaching 10 years of operations at Ferroporte, which is something that was, let's say, already projected to have some more maintenance on this period. And we're right now literally closing the dredging campaign for this year. And again, nothing changed compared to the previous years. And just to remind that this dredging campaign is done every 2 years. And that's why we try to normalize when we make the adjusted EBITDA taking off the dredging, so we can have the comparison in a fair comparison between the years that we do have the dredging and we don't have the dredging. But again, on this, no major change. Things are moving as the schedule and as projected.
Great, thanks for that. And then in terms of your comment about discounts for oil vessels through T-Oil, I was wondering, you know, this port access agreement that you have with Açu Petróleo, it seems like some of those discounts start rolling off, which potentially results in more revenue flowing through Ferroport and obviously through the Prubhar structure. I was curious whether any of those discounts are likely to get reestablished. It seems like the change in fees from that side are quite substantial, but want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding that.
Yeah, this is actually the same deal that is regulating this since probably for something around 5 years already. There's a scale on the number of what's the volume being handled on in terms of number of barrels, and there's a different discount depending on where we are on this agreement. And for the first 5 years, we do have a specific level of discounts from the fifth anniversary until July 2038. There's a different scale for that. And from that period on, there's another scale for this. In the beginning, on the first 5 years, the regulation was up to 120 million barrels. There was a discount of 80% on the tariff, which is very substantial. And then from 120 to 200 million barrels, there was a different discount, which is goes down to 50%. And every number above and beyond the 200 million barrels per year on this specific range of the first 5 years was living on the same 50% discount as well. So as you see the ramp up on the operations on the T-Oil side, then you first see the movements coming from 80 to 50 as you change from the range. But when you go to the the second level of discounts, which works from the fifth anniversary until July 2038, the same level that we used to have 80% discount, which is up to 120 million barrels on this specific period of time, goes to zero, the discount. So you go down from 80% to 0% discount, which means full tariff. And only volumes that amount from 120 to 200 million and above, they have the 80% discount. So you start to see the movements from the timing going by and the range of the number of operations changing on this. And that's why together with the larger number of operations being handled per year at Vast, together with that, you can see the numbers of the participation of the revenues from the excess tariffs increasing a lot, like we have on the 2022 versus 2023, they almost doubled to 90 million in 2023. So that's the mechanism that we have today regarding those.
Right, that's helpful. And so then starting in 2025, assuming current volumes from Vast, how are you guys quantifying internally what the likely contribution will be from that? It sounds like, you know, with growing volumes and an expiration of those discounts at 50% above 120 million barrels, that could be a bit more substantial in terms of revenue contribution. So just trying to get a sense for the magnitude there starting in 2025.
Yeah. So we so far, we don't have what's their projection for the number of operations for 2025. But of course, it's the assets ramping up in volumes, as you could see in the last 3 or 4 years, with a very robust increase. So we expect to have an increase in terms of number of operations and volumes. But so far, we cannot give guidance in terms of the participation in or the total amount because of that. It's something that we usually don't provide guidance. And second, this is something that we would be debating with them, looking to their projections when we start to have the discussions on the budget, for instance, for 2025.
Okay, that's helpful. And then one last question, and I'll get back in line. I'm trying to assess any potential impact from this recent agreement between Vale and Anglo for the combination of the Serpentina resource. Obviously, with Minas Rio having this agreement, take or pay, with the port, basically export all of that capacity. I'm curious whether an expansion of that capacity and any utilization of existing rail infrastructure changes the perspective on the asset utilization going forward.
Okay. So far, we don't expect it to have actually any change. So the agreement that's in place between Anglo and the port terminal stays in place, and there's no change on that. So Vale coming with a 15% stake at the Minas Rio level doesn't change their obligations, so that's the general aspect in terms of our agreements. But what we really think it will happen is that probably we're going to see Anglo, by using those reserves, which are right next to their reserves, their own reserves that they have today, they're mining today, helping the timeline to overpass the 26.6 million tons in a short period of time, most likely. So there, it's a place, yeah, the reserve of Vale, that it's untouched. So they have the first portion of the iron ore, which is better and easier to actually mine. So most likely we'll see probably an increase in terms of timing to overpassing 26.6 million tons. But again, this is something that depends on their mining plan and that portion of the project in the operations. It's 100% owned and operated by Anglo, and it's still going to be like that even with Vale having a participation. So what we heard is that Vale will not have any interference on the day-to-day discussions. But if you look to their projections, Anglo's projections, official projections on their website, the 2024 forecast for the production on Minas Rio, it's something between 24 to 26 million tons, which is on the edge of reaching the nominal capacity of our agreement with them. And for 2025, they are already projecting 25 to 27 million tons. So most likely we'll be reaching something at the nominal capacity by that period of time. But it's something that, again, on the midterm, it's positive on our view because of having access to these extra volumes, reserves, and potentially easier mineable portion compared to the to their own, because they are being extracted for 10 years on, let's say, on the original assets of Minas Rio, and that one is untouched.
Okay, and sorry, just one last question as a follow-up to that. The additional volumes that would flow through, does that require a new slurry pipeline? And what is the exact capacity of the port right now? I thought it was around 26.
Yeah, nominal capacity, it's 26.6 million tons. Okay. But the experts believe that it's feasible to have a little bit more. So that little bit more could be something around 30 something closer to that.
Okay.
And we do have a specific rule on our agreement saying that if there are volumes above and beyond 26.6 million tons and whatever they are, but using the same infrastructure, then they have to pay an extra tariff, which is a differentiated tariff for this, let's say, additional volumes. And it's a different rule than having a full expansion or a new capex to expand the system. So on my perspective that I was giving about the deal, it's that most likely they would be reaching volumes above and beyond 26.6 million tons, but using the same infrastructure, not having an expansion, and that will, when it happens, bring extra tariffs being paid by Anglo to Ferroport when they kick in.
Gotcha. That's super helpful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alex Rivi with Double Line Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, Alex, perfectly.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call today. You know, my question is going back to the first one about EIG. You know, if EIG sells its stake in Prumo Logistica, as they've been talking about, would this trigger a change of control at the Prumo Par bond level? And if so, how would you plan to pay the change of control price? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Yes, it would, but again, there's nothing, as far as I know, being executed on that sense. So we're not planning to have that here internally on our day-to-day discussions about Prupar to, for instance, get ready for such an event. Like I said in the beginning, it's more something like that they could be, and they are always looking to potentially having a divestment horizon on this asset. They are here for roughly 10 years already, but we don't see them doing and selling their all their stake or the majority stake on this short term, touching our clause of change of control here.
Okay. But it sounds like that might be something that EIG does in the medium term. Do you ever speak with them, you know, about this possibility? And As I mentioned before, is there any plan at the Prumopar level or Ferroport for how to handle it in the future?
Yeah, I do talk to them regularly. Remember that we do have some representatives from EIG on the Prumo level board, and we have a very close relationship with their offices, either in DC or in Rio, where they're based as well. But there's no movements in the short term projected to trigger such an event down here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to pose a question, please press the button raise hand and wait for the operator. And our next question comes from Thomas Lemos with Barings. Please go ahead.
Thomas, we cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now? Sorry, I was speaking.
Oh, yes.
Myself.
Yes.
Sorry. In order for the change of control to be triggered, do you need a rating downgrade to occur in order for the change of control to happen?
That's a good point. I don't think so, but I'd like to double check that, Thomas, to give you the proper answer. I think if there is a change of control at Prumo level, we would trigger that regardless of the rating, but I'll ask the team to do this check and then to send the answer.
Okay, thanks. And then the second question that I had is regarding the dividends paid on the fourth quarter exclusively from Ferroport to Prumo. That seems to be kind of somewhat the lowest in the last 2 years in BRL terms. So if you can provide even more color on what happened in the fourth quarter in particular.
Yeah, what we have been seeing, and it's actually changing a little bit, was on the end of last year and on the very beginning of this year, a conjunction of bits of BRL appreciation against the US dollar and some additional maintenance costs, and specifically for this year already of 2024, the PPI, which is something that we'll talk a little bit on the next call, but you'll see more or less the same movements. So BRL appreciation together with some more maintenance being done, it squeezed a little bit the margin, which, as you can see, was one of the lowest, or if not the lowest, distributions that we had. But this is something that we knew that would act a little bit like that when we have that conjunction of factors, and we're accommodating on the, let's say, the buffer that we have between the legal and the targets curves. And as we have been paying everything on target since mid last year, we created a buffer in the beginning in order to accommodate those if it's necessary, or we don't have the total funds to not to pay and not to fulfill the target like it happened on the last year, payment of last year.
Okay. Okay, all right. And then just to check, if you were to decide to reach the target amortization, let's say in June, I know that it won't happen. I'm just wondering, I mean, how much of are you lagging behind the target amortization at this point?
The target amortization for June, the projection is 24.4 million for the debt service in terms of principal repayments. We will most likely be below that payment for the next payment as well. Again, as I said a little bit on the beginning of the answer, we're seeing a conjunction specifically on this year of those two things that I described for the last quarter of 2023, but on 2024 as well, the PPI that was negative, so it's bringing the basic tariff down as per our agreement. So we're seeing a little squeeze on the margins and on the volumes, but it's something that will, as I said, most likely be paying below the target as well.
Got it. And just to understand the mechanics of it, when you say you have 24.4 million of principal in June, but you also didn't pay the full target in December 23, right? So the 24.4, does it include what you were lagging behind for the December 23 coupon?
No, I'll double check that, but this was the original 24.4, not splitting the gap that we created by paying less than the target on the last year.
And can we work on that number? Do you know how much were you behind for the December to reach the target?
I don't know by heart. I'll have the team providing the details to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
Again, if you would like to pose a question, please press the button raise hand. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you, Priscilla. Again, I'd like to thank you all for the participation and joining the fourth quarter 2023 earnings call. We'll be back together talking about the first quarter in a few weeks. So I expect to see you all there. Thank you so much.
That does conclude Prumo Participações Investimentos SA's financial results for the fourth quarter of 2023 audio conference call. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day and thank you for using Núcleo de Imagem.